Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Last week on Telling Future Generations, we began our study in the book of Acts by looking at the foundation, the mission of the church, given by the Lord Jesus directly to his disciples, which is to take the good news of the gospel to the nations. In Acts chapter 1, we saw that there are four pillars of doctrinal truth that are built upon this foundation, the mission of the church. Last week, we looked at the first two pillars of doctrinal truth. First, the reliability of the scriptures, and secondly, the many infallible proofs of the resurrection. Then in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Luke the author introduces us to the third pillar of doctrinal truth that rests on the foundation of the mission of the church, that is, the giving of the Holy Spirit, which includes both the promise and the purpose. First, we have the promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit, found in verses 4 and 5. It says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This is the same thing that Jesus had been talking to his disciples about for a while, even before Jesus went to the cross. Actually, the night before the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus told his disciples again that he would be going away, but also sending them the promise of the Holy Spirit, which would be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, 40 days later, and to every believer since that time, beginning at the moment they believe in Christ. Listen to these gentle words of Jesus when he spoke to his disciples about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, one of our most beloved verses, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Then the very same chapter, a few verses later, Jesus says in John 14, verses 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Well, what's the point of this promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit? It's that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would be given not just to the disciples, but to every believer, so they would know that they are not alone. As a believer in Jesus, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us as the Lord's people. A young person who I was recently talking with said this to me by way of observation. They said, "You know, sometimes you can be in a crowded place and there are people all around you, even saying hi to you as you pass them by. You can be in this big crowd, but yet you can feel like you're all alone." But as believers in Jesus, here's the truth. We are never alone. We have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is right here with us. In Child Evangelism Fellowship, immediately following a Counseling for Salvation time with children when they trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we often share with them two powerful scripture verses that we teach the children to put on their hands, one word for each finger, so they have a walking power verse always with them, one for each hand. For the first hand, we teach them to put Hebrews 13:5 on their hand, which are the very words of Jesus that says simply, "I will never leave you." Then on the second hand, we teach them to put the very next verse in Hebrews 13, verse 6 on their hand that is reminiscent of Psalm 23:1. But instead of saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," like in Psalm 23, Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper." These two powerful verses remind children who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior to remember God's promise to them through the giving of the Holy Spirit that they are not alone. The Holy Spirit now indwells them as a believer and is their comforter and their helper and who abides with them forever. Second, not only do we have the promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit, but also the purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And that's in one of my favorite verses in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The ultimate purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit is not just for the comfort of the believer, but also for the empowerment of the believer in being a gospel witness for Jesus to their family, to their neighbor across the street, and to the other side of the world, to the nations. One of my favorite Christian movies is called The Hiding Place, which is a true story of the Tembone family during World War II, how they saved the lives of many Jews by hiding them from the Nazis in Holland. Corrie Ten Boom, one of the sisters, towards the beginning of the movie, gives a great illustration of the purpose of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit fills us like a glove. Corrie said to the children in her Bible study class in one of her last meetings that she was able to have with them before the Nazis took over, that a glove without the hand being on the inside, that the glove on its own can do nothing. It's empty. It's weak. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are filled with God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us to be the very hands and feet of Jesus so that we can do what? So we can serve like Jesus, so that we can witness for Jesus. And that includes sharing the gospel not only with the people across the street, but also our enemies. And the Holy Spirit then fills us with God's love so that we can also love like Jesus. You know, I totally understand that the thrust of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be a gospel witness to all people everywhere. I get it. But the heartbeat of the mission of the church is simply this, is to love God and to love people. But in order to love people, you and I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit because, let's face it, some people are just downright difficult to love. This week, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, reminded me of another verse found in 1 Peter 1:22 that says this, "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." You know, we need the empowerment, the filling of the Holy Spirit to love each other, including our own brothers and sisters in Christ or our Christian family members. Without the love, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are just like that empty glove. Years ago, I had a CF mentor who was equipping me and training me to be the state director. This was a long time ago, but she gave me some great advice I never forgot. She said, "Katrina, you're going to have people in your life who just don't like you as a state director, or they're going to give you a difficult time. It's just leadership. It just comes with the territory." But then she said this to me, "When you run into people like that who are difficult to love, ask God, the Holy Spirit, to fill you with love for them, with His love that flows through you." That is super great advice, and I never want to forget that. But not only do we need the empowerment, the filling of the Holy Spirit to love each other in the body of Christ who are believers, but also to love those who are unbelievers who are lost without Christ. Instead of us shaking our heads and moving our mouths, expressing our great annoyance at unbelievers, we are to love them in Jesus' name by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and then open our mouths with our hearts moving towards them in love to proclaim the good news of the gospel to them in Jesus' name. Remember the heartbeat of the mission of the church. The ultimate very foundation of it that all these pillars are built upon is spreading the message of the gospel to the nations is to love God and love others. But even in that, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The final fourth pillar that rests upon the foundation of the church's mission is not only the giving of the Holy Spirit, but also the coming of God's kingdom, the coming kingdom of God, which includes both a now and not yet aspect timeline to it. First, the not yet timeline. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, the disciples asked Jesus their burning question. They said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he, Jesus, said unto them, "It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." Notice what Jesus did not say here. Jesus did not say they were wrong for believing that Jesus would one day visibly establish His kingdom, not just over Israel, but over all the earth, which all the scriptures teach us both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The kingdom of God is a major doctrine of the whole Bible from cover to cover, and we're reminded of this major doctrine every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, which says what? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." But notice what Jesus did say here to his disciples. The issue, you see, wasn't the coming visible establishment of the kingdom. The issue was the timing of it, of when the kingdom of God would come. That's why Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." In other words, Jesus was saying to his disciples and to us today, that's not for you to focus on now or to seek to know, because it's the Father's business, not your business. It's the Father's business of when the kingdom of God will one day fully come. But there's not only a not yet timeline to the coming kingdom of God, but also a now timeline to the coming kingdom right now. But how is the kingdom of God coming now? Well, that's through the spreading, the proclamation of the gospel. And that's what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is all about. The kingdom of God is coming now, not only as the gospel spreads from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, which is the outward expansion of the gospel, but also the kingdom of God is coming now, the very moment anybody, anywhere believes, trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which is the inward expansion of the gospel. At the very moment when a person believes in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come. But it's also at the same time, you see, still coming until one day the whole earth will know and visibly see Jesus as Lord and King reigning over heaven and earth. The last words of Jesus clearly tell us that we are to focus on the coming kingdom now instead of the not yet timeline of God's kingdom that will most surely come when Jesus comes again. And as if to drill this point home even further, it was right after Jesus said these very words that he ascended up into heaven and a cloud received him out of their sight. The Bible records that the disciples were looking steadfastly, gazing up into heaven, when suddenly two angels dressed all in white startled them and brought them back to attention. Acts 1:11 says this, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Well, what's the angel's message here? It's the exact same thing that the Lord Jesus was saying to his disciples just moments before. Don't focus on the not yet aspect timeline of the coming kingdom of one day when, but focus on the now timeline of God's kingdom that is coming right now through the mission of the church. It's important for us to remember that the mission of the church is not just for the disciples back then, but it is the mission of the church and the mission of every believer in Christ this day now. Why? Because Jesus is coming, and he hasn't come yet, but there are people who are not ready for his return. Just this week, I went shopping at a local grocery store, and I ran into two people that I never met before and had brief conversations with them. I didn't share the gospel with them, and nobody got saved that day, but it made me realize anew when I was walking away and I got into my car that I am always to be on mission everywhere I go, caring for the mission of the church, the mission of Christ, because there are people all around us, even at the grocery store, who need the Lord. These four pillars of doctrinal truths are built upon the mission of the church: the reliability of the scriptures, the infallible proofs of the resurrection, the giving of the Holy Spirit, and the coming kingdom of God. And each one of us should be compelled anew to be on mission for the Lord because of the truths of these doctrinal pillars of truth. But also we should be on mission for the Lord both near and far, including to our neighbor at the grocery store and to all the nations who need to yet hear. But for the ultimate mission of the church and the mission of every believer, we do not need to just memorize some pillar list, but to remember simply this: we are to love God and to love people above all, and love them enough to open up our mouths and to share with them about Jesus, because this is the mission of the church. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.